Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Marlon. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. This is a very important call. Not that any are unimportant, but this one comes at a time, as you all know, when Israel is at war. We have a representative of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. He's the outreach director. In fact, he facilitated a meeting yesterday up at the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. for a private showing of the things that Hamas did on October 7th. And I have to tell you that it was chilling. But I'll leave it to him to go into more detail, not only about that, but about what the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is doing and what we can do to be a support for Israel. I do not trust this Biden administration to stand with Israel at all. I think for them, it's really pragmatic politics. There's no moral principle involved at all. I can tell you, I'm looking at the National Mall right now on my news screen, and there are, I don't know how many people, but it looks like many, 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 many people out there. And Thank God that Christians and others are speaking loudly and clearly of our support for Israel. We haven't seen anything like it. I can't wait to hear what the numbers are, but it is a magnificent crowd of people out there. So I'll tell you what, let's say a word of prayer. We're looking for our guest speaker and trying to track him down. Pastor Long, hear me?
He's on.
All right, great, great. All right. Pastor Roger Cheeks, great to have you. This is the first time you've been a guest speaker for us. I'm going to open up in prayer, then we'll turn it over to you to expound for 10 minutes, 15 or more or less, somewhere in that vicinity. And then we'll open it up for questions than people that might have or comments they might want you to respond to about our situation today. So great to have you on. Thanks for taking time to join us. Let's pray.
Thank you. Thank you.
Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have in a free nation to express our most profound concerns. And Lord, one of the most profound concerns we have right now is for the survival of Israel, because Israel is under attack, not only militarily and with terrorism by Hamas, but they're also under attack around the world with anti-Semitism, an attempt to delegitimize the nation of Israel, to say it's an apartheid nation, to say that we should boycott Israel, chants from the river to the sea. And Lord, we know that there is a spiritual dynamic behind this, and the spiritual dynamic is that the Jewish people belong to you, and the devil hates them just like he hates Christians, and anybody who belongs to you is a target of his attack. And Jesus said he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and Lord, that's what he is doing. But we pray for his speedy defeat and for the speedy defeat of Hamas. And we pray, Lord God, that Israel will come through this crisis and will thrive and prosper and be more strong, more secure than they've ever been before. And, Lord, that America would stand fast in behalf of Israel, no wavering, no equivocation, and that all of these politicians, Lord, who are so busy denouncing Israel and claiming Israel's committing genocide, that they would be silenced, that they would be defeated at the ballot box. And, Lord God, that we would hear voices of reason and decency and honor speaking up on behalf of one of our most important, if not our most important, ally in the world. We thank you for Pastor Roger Cheeks. We thank you for the great work he's doing with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And we thank you for all the leaders on this call, Lord, who are standing up for righteousness in this country. And we are grateful, Lord, to see millions on the Mall in Washington, D.C. right now standing up for Israel. We've been praying for an awakening. Lord, maybe this could be the beginning of it. But we thank you and praise you and commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, folks, this is a dear friend of mine, a fellow minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've known him for at least a couple decades now, I've become the outreach director for the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and invited me yesterday to a meeting that I'll let him talk a little bit about. But Roger, the floor is yours, my friend, and thank you so much for the service, great service to our country and the great service that you are doing to the Christian community and to our Jewish brothers and sisters. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Bishop. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can all hear you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor just to be here talking with you great leaders around the globe, around the world, around the, our country. I have to echo many of the things Bishop had just shared with us about our nation, about our politicians. It's so much concern to me that we have so many politicians and so few public servants. And it's up to us, really. It's the mouth, the church, the clarion call that we can make in our faith to let people know that there's only one way, and that's the way God has designed it. You know, the government is on his shoulders, and so we recognize that the opportunity to serve people in a governmental fashion, in a spiritual fashion, in a social fashion is of the Lord, but it has to be of the Lord, and we are the ones who can, again, cry aloud and spare not and lift up our voice like a trumpet in Zion and tell our people their sins. And it's a privilege. You know, I'm so glad that Bishop came yesterday to view that very, I can't even describe it, because this morning I woke up and grabbed me a cup of coffee and was in my devotions and began to think about what I experienced yesterday. And I still can't come up with words for the evil, the atrocity, horrendous images of humans treating other humans the way they were treated by Hamas soldiers during that raw footage. We saw raw footage from confiscated microphones and cameras off of Hamas soldiers. We saw footage from drones that were over areas. We saw raw footage of the kibbutz, in two kibbutz where they were raided. We saw raw footage from Hamas's motorcycles and vehicles that they had stolen or had themselves, and from some of the IDF soldiers' raw footage. And it was, again, beyond words. Talking about inhumane and insensitive to life itself. Again, I walked away saddened, but I walked away angry. I was more angry, and today I'm more angry than anything that this evil could exist in our world. Understanding, I've been in ministry for 40 years. My father and mother, father was a church planter, and he was a pastor for 50 years. And so I understand the enemy. But to see him on front stage in operating in people was just heart-wrenching. For an example, and I'm going to get into what, you know, yesterday was so fresh. I just want to explain to you what Bishop and I witnessed. For an example, there was one Hamas soldier. I wouldn't even call him a soldier. Soldiers don't even act like this. Soldiers that act like this, they are excommunicated from the military. So this Hamas murderer, I would call him, called his father and was excited and exclaimed, "Dad, I killed 10 Jews. I killed 10 Jews." And screaming Allah Akbar. And his dad on the other end of the phone was congratulatory. And his mother was crying tears of joy. And they were celebrating killing others. There was another scene that the Hamas murderers that went into a house that they are already, the people were already dead, lying on the floor. And then a Hamas soldier, and please excuse me, this is raw and I have to tell you exactly what I saw. And a Hamas soldier looked at a man on the floor dead and picked up what I would consider a garden hose, a large garden hose, and tried to cut his head off. And I witnessed this. Bishop witnessed this. Young girls hovered in a bomb shelter, just screaming and afraid and being captured. Young children, there was one scene where the young children, two boys and their father, were still in their, just woke up, or I assume, because they were still in their underwear, and they heard Hamas outside, and they tried to escape, went into a bomb shelter. Hamas detonated a hand grenade in the bomb shelter, killed the dad, and the two boys ran in the house screaming and yelling and saying, "We're going to die now, we're going to die now." And the Hamas soldier came in the kitchen area where they were, opened the refrigerator, and asked them what this was, and took out what I would assume was a Coke, a large Coke or a 2-liter Coke, and just started drinking and walked away. And these two boys, I would say one probably 13, 14, one's probably 8 or 9, witnessed their dad being murdered, killed. So, you know, this was 40 minutes of different scenes, different conversations that was intercepted that Hamas was doing on October the 7th. And it's not over. They're still trying to kill the Jews. And quite frankly, they're trying to kill us as Christians and as Americans. So don't be fooled. And let me say this too. Israel, when you say, "I pray for Israel," and we pray for Israel, let's realize this one thing. We also are praying for Gaza, because Gaza is a part of Israel. We're praying for the people in the West Bank, because that's a part of Israel. And so Israel loves the people that they serve. And they serve not only Jews, they serve Christians, they serve Muslims, they serve Palestinians, they serve Bedouins and Druids. And so, in my opinion, that Israel is one of the most diverse countries I've ever been in. And we should stand with our ally, because I truly believe, and I know Bishop believes this with his whole heart, that they're God's people. They're our brothers and sisters, and we need to stand with them like never before. Before we left the embassy yesterday, my colleague Carlos Ortiz, who helped, was leading the organization of this. We're dear friends. We were leaving, and we were talking to the deputy communications director, second in charge of the embassy. And we both looked at her. She had tears in her eyes, and we said to her, "Israel's not alone. We are with you." And I know everyone on this call, I wouldn't be on this call if I didn't think that you all weren't standing with Israel as well. And if you weren't before, I hope during this conversation, and certainly during your relationship with Bishop Jackson, that your heart has changed. I'm not worried about changing your head if it needs to be changed. We've tried that before with laws. You can't legislate the heart. So if God moves on your heart, then real change happens. And he moves on all of our hearts. I am the outreach director, senior outreach director for the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. I've been that for the last 5 years, working on 6 years. It's been a privilege and honor to work for this organization. And it is a ministry. That's what we call it. It's a ministry. The founder, Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, of blessed memory, established this organization. He was an Orthodox rabbi. And he established this organization because he knew, I truly believed and believe that he had a revelation from God that Christians and Jews could work together to not only end anti-Semitism, but to end bigotry and hatred amongst all races. I truly believe that he heard from the Lord. Started with $500, 1983. And interestingly, I don't know if you knew, some of you are great supporters of our organization, but one of the inspirations that motivated the rabbi to start the organization, he was doing tours in Israel, and he was rooming with a black pastor from Virginia. And Rabbi had went out the room that afternoon, and about 5 o'clock that evening, he came back in the room, and this pastor from Virginia was on his knees praying. And Rabbi heard him, and he said, the pastor from Virginia said, "Lord, thank you for allowing me to see a land that Moses never saw. Thank you for these people. These are your people." And at that moment, that was one of the main motivating factors that let Rabbi know that Christians do love Jews. And that hits the reason for the establishment of our organization. It's interesting, Bishop. On Sunday, Sunday evening, I met an elderly Jewish woman who was actually converted to Christianity. And I told her what I was doing. She said, "Oh, I'm so glad you're serving at this organization. I know many things about this organization." She said, "I just came back from Jerusalem. I lived in Jerusalem for 14 years. And she said, "If you ever go to Jerusalem again, if you see someone looks just like me, that's my twin sister." And she said that we need to come together as Christians and Jews, because we will come together in heaven. And I was just so taken back by that and so inspired by that. And to be able to see what I saw yesterday, that was comforting to me to know. Just like God took down Haman in Esther, God is certainly capable of taking down Hamas, and I believe he will. Our organization has been in existence for 40 years. We're the largest social service organization in Israel and probably the Middle East. When Israel has a humanitarian need, they call upon us. Because of our infrastructure, it's so organized, we can hit the ground running very, very quickly. Another example, even before this war broke out, we were in Ukraine 3 weeks. We have been in Ukraine for 36 years. And 3 weeks before the Russians hit Ukraine, our president, CEO now, Yael Eckstein, who is Rabbi's daughter, and she's doing a tremendous job, 39-year-old mother, wife, and truly anointed of God to do what she's doing for the fellowship. She was visiting Ukraine, and there was rumors of that war happening. And she rallied us together, and we prepared to feed 100,000 people the first day of the war in Ukraine because she prepared us. Her heart is so large, so huge for humanity. When the war broke out in Israel on October 7th, I was actually sitting on a plane getting ready to go preach, and I received a text from my supervisor calling me to an emergency meeting. And 3 days after that meeting, we had already scheduled a pastor's meeting for Yael, the CEO and president, to talk with the pastors, not knowing this would come. And she strongly, with much courage, was on a Zoom call with us. And that was the first time in 5 years I've seen her break down. And because she's there, she's in Israel, she's in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, I was in Ashkelon a year ago. I was in Beirut, where there is no more city, a year ago, standing on the Gaza border. Actually, I had moved away from the Gaza border about a block to a playground. And on that playground, across the sidewalk, literally across the sidewalk from the playground, was 7 bomb shelters. And beyond the playground was a academy and childcare facility. And I then could see the children in uniforms. I would guesstimate about 100 children just waving their hands. They were on a little hill and waving their hands and saying hello to us as I was filming at the bomb shelter. And who'd have thought a year later that that whole area, which was a beautiful city, is a ghost town now, devastated with the bombs from Gaza. Let me state this as well. Israel loves Palestinians. Israel loves Christians, Jews, of course. Anyone who is in Israel, they try to protect. It is Hamas who needs to be eradicated. And all of these, some of these, I'm not going to say all because it's not all, but some of these colleges and universities having these marches, and Israel's not anti-Palestinian. They're anti-Hamas. And as you can see and witness on several of our news outlets, some of the efforts that Israel is trying to do to protect those who are in Gaza, those innocent people that are in Gaza, at the same time protecting themselves and ridding us of Hamas. Make no mistake about it. Hamas to the south, Hezbollah to the north, they're dangerous. And they have no regard for any life but their own. And we need to take care of them quick, fast, and in a hurry, as we used to say. Because if you leave a little leaven in the lump, it's gonna spoil the whole lump. So I believe Israel understands that. We serve about, on a normal basis, not without the wars, we serve about 16 to 20,000 people a month through food banks, through our elderly centers, through our soup kitchens. This time of the year, we have a warehouse that is right outside of Tel Aviv that we collect blankets, and we give those blankets away to the elderly. In our elderly centers, there are, and I'm wrapping up here. I know my time is limited. In our elderly centers, there are people who come to our elderly centers. That's the only contact they have with other people. When they're at home, they have no contact with people. And we serve 80 to 90, almost 100-year-old people that come to our elderly centers, and we keep them active. They make jewelry. They do paintings and all these things. And so I've been there several times. One gentleman, just a short story, one gentleman that's about 85, Russian Jew, who was doing some woodwork, and I had an interpreter. And he had went through about 3 cigarettes within minutes, and he started telling me his story. Well, he was one of 3 men who worked on Chernobyl, on the nuclear reactor. And I walked away. I said, "Oh my God! And you're smoking a cigarette, sir? You better slow it down a little bit." In my mind, but those are the things, and we were helping build a life for those elderly who are alone. And so that's what we do. We're on the ground. Most of our people that are working now in the wartime, most of them or all of them have served in the military, and some of them are serving right now because that's their obligation. And so this is a great ministry to support. If you don't do anything, it's a great ministry and a great people to pray for. Those bomb shelters I talked about, that we had installed, I think, about 30 bomb shelters right before the war, which was needed. Cost about $13,000, $13,500 to have a mobile bomb shelter. Now, I was thinking this morning, this is not a pitch, but I guess it is a pitch. I was thinking this morning, even about my family. I have a large family. I said, you know, I'm going to send out an email and say, hey, let's all of us get together and put some money together and purchase a bomb shelter. All of my contacts, and, you know, get our name. We put names on the bomb shelters. There's bomb shelters in the names of people who have been deceased in families or churches' names on it. And so those are the things we do. And we're going to continue to do those things far after this war is over. The unfortunate thing is, I believe this war is going to last for a while. So we need your prayers. We need your constant prayers. And I'm going to stop here and take any questions that you may have for me.
Well, Pastor Raja, I mean, look, there's so much we need to learn about this. And I'm really glad you took the time to explain some of the things that you all are doing and how we can support and how we can help. Folks, if you have any questions, press *6 to get in queue. Press *6. Let me open with this question. How are the people in Israel feeling right now? And how is the leader of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews and your staff and board feeling about the expressions of anti-Semitism that they're seeing around America right now, particularly at our prestigious colleges and universities, where presumably the leaders of the future are being developed? What are
absolutely.
They thinking? Yeah, how are they responding to that?
Absolutely, Bishop. A great question. You know, it's funny. The reason I came on board with the fellowship, the rabbi had a vision to try to change the hearts and the narrative, particularly at the college level. And you'd be surprised that on Christian college campuses, this is happening as well. And there are more pro-Palestinians, which they don't understand the gravity of when you become pro-Palestinian. You have to understand you're embracing the government of Gaza, and the government of Gaza for 7 years has been run by Hamas. So these young people don't understand the nuances that are happening. And so they brought me on to develop a seminary and university outreach program. That's how I started, to try to change the narrative. And I can remember vividly, Rabbi, the first week I started, I was in Chicago, because that's where our main office is, and he said, what are you going to do about the BDS and anti-Semitism on these campuses? What is your take on it? I said, well, Rabbi, I'm not going to throw, I said, with all due respect, I'm not going to throw stones for stones, but what we need to do is change the narrative and start promoting and speaking a correct narrative and infiltrate it in that fashion. And I said, social media is a great way that the young people and the millennials, that's what they do. And so we tried to establish some things on the social media platform that would, I wouldn't call it combating anti-Semitism, but to correct the narrative. And, you know, when rat poisoning is 90% good corn and 10% strychnine. And it's the 10% strychnine that you got to get rid of. And so what I was trying to do, and did somewhat successfully, was to flood the social media and to flood college campuses by starting student organizations that supported the Fellowship in Israel to change the narrative and correct narrative on campuses. And so our organization is very much saddened by this anti-Semitism that's going on. And because, much like racism, most of it is due to ignorance. It's not due, ignorance breeds hatred. Hatred doesn't breed ignorance a lot of times. Ignorance breeds hatred. And so many of the young people are just ignorant to the real narrative and the real truths about Jewish people. And, you know, here's a good example. I'm going to close with that. I'll close that answer. There was some young people that think, oh, well, there are only 2 million people died in the Holocaust. Well, it was 6 million plus. And so just that
wow,
tweaking of that narrative has to be explained. And that's why we need young people, young youth departments in churches to really understand the correct narrative about their biblical history. And the Jewish people are a major part of that biblical history.
It's shocking to hear that Christian campuses are having these pro Hamas demonstrations and students expressing support for that situation. I mean, that's shocking. That is really shocking. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you finish your comment, then we'll take one more question. We got one more question.
Okay,
on the board
here. Our generation, according to Pew Research Center, the X generation, the Z generation, the millennium, their support for Israel has dwindled. And I believe, I read a book about 5 years ago called Ministering to the Z Generation. So the Z Generation now are probably college freshmen and sophomores. And they get most of their information and most of their ideology is formed, get this, is formed through social media.
Wow. Well, it ought to be formed by the family primarily, but let's take another question. Go right ahead. I think we have Jose from California.
Hi, Pastor Chief. Thank you so much. Yeah, this is Jose from California, and the question is: talk to us about the Palestinian and Muslims that are the moral and ethical and have a good heart. There are, you know, the bad element, the Hamas, the Hezbollah. But
yes,
you know, are there any stories or experiences? I'm phrasing this in the context of Bridget Gabriel, who was a Christian in southern Lebanon during the war up there. And she mentioned how the Israelis took in the Christians. They gave them shelter, free medical, and they didn't really get any kind of help from the local, Lebanese. Are they irrelevant? You know, people say that I've got friends that are good Muslims, but that's sort of irrelevant when the majority that are in control are hateful and very vindictive. So your thoughts on stories from there? Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.
Blessings to you. I can only share from my experience in being in Israel. I can't speak for Lebanon or the bordering countries. But again, the Muslims, the Palestinians, the Jews, the organization, the fellowship, we call it the fellowship, International Fellowship, we had some donors who purchased ambulances because the ambulance service wasn't getting in the Bedouin communities. So we purchased ambulances for the Bedouin community. I actually rode in an ambulance to a Bedouin house, went into the Bedouin home, so loving. They gave me what they had, and it wasn't a lot. And so the moral, the Orthodox Muslim, I would call it that, just wants to live a life alongside the Palestinians, alongside the Jewish people in Israel and the Christians, to raise their families and to have a good life. And so there are pockets of that happening in Israel all the time. I can't speak to Lebanon.
And, you know, I think there's something inherently wrong with Islam, and I've got Muslim relatives, so it's no prejudice against people because they're Muslim. But Eric Cantor Freedom is another example. I mean, he is a Muslim, and he has spoken up in favor of and in support of Israel. So it just goes to show it's not a situation where all Muslims hate Israel and all Muslims hate Jews.
Exactly.
Even though I think there is something culturally wrong there, we ought to give each person their due as an individual, respect as an individual, until we learn something different. But there is a major problem in Islam because it produces these kinds of fanatical, evil people who think that killing Jews and Christians is somehow a good, moral, ethical, as you described it, celebrating it.
Right. And I agree with you 100%, Bishop. And that is the 10% of strychnine. I mean, the 10% strychnine, which is in good corn. And I think those elements, and honestly, when I was speaking to the elderly Jewish woman here, she said Christians didn't love us. I said I understand that. I said Hitler said he was a Christian. So Nazi Party was a Christian party. And so I understand that. However, there's extremes in everything. However, this is a moral, humanitarian situation. I believe it's beyond religion. I believe it's beyond politics now. This is what we saw yesterday was inhumane. And people need to respect, you just said it a few seconds ago, Bishop, people need to respect people for whatever they're doing in a humane, moral way. We may not agree. We may agree to disagree, because I feel the same way about Islam. But I will not raise my hand against someone who's Muslim who's not raising their hand against me.
Right, exactly. I mean, well, man, this has been it's sobering, but I'm always grateful to God that people like you are on the front lines on these issues, and that your voice is being heard, and reminding Jewish people, too, because, you know, Jewish people for a long time thought Christians hated them. And I said, well, that's because they met people who weren't really Christians, you know?
Yeah.
But we love them, and we are their biggest allies, even though some of them, not all of them know it, but we are their biggest allies. So I know I and everybody on this call stands in solidarity with you and with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to do whatever we can to help bless and protect the Jewish people.
Well, Bishop, thank you so much. If any of these pastors, I'd like to, there are materials that we have. One great book is called How Firm a Foundation, and it talks about Christian and Jewish relations that Rabbi wrote years ago. He was a teaching rabbi. And so if any of you want any materials We have tons of materials that we give to you. Please let me know. Let Bishop know, and we'll get them to you. I received an email from Yael late last night saying they have a need for first responders equipment. I think that first responders equipment is like $1,300 or $1,500 per bag. So just to put that out there as well.
Well, now, what's the best way for them to connect with you? Should they go to the website? Should they? Is there some way to contact you? What's the best way to do it?
Yeah, the best way to connect with me is just via email. That's the email, my email for the fellowship. That would be the best way to connect. Then I could direct it to the right person, and I could represent you all and represent Stan to our organization.
Yeah, I didn't even say this, but Pastor Roger Cheeks is also senior fellow for Stand with Israel, which is a project we've created to make clear part of our Judeo-Christian history and heritage and values is, in my view, one of the reasons why we've been blessed as a country is because we have stood with Israel. We're the first to recognize Israel when it was reconstituted as a nation. And I really believe what God said. He said, I will bless those who bless you. So. Mm-hmm. We're mm-hmm. going to bless you, brother, and we bless you. I think we've got your email address, Marlon. I think we've got his email address, don't we? That we have we already set that out, or can we send that out to our people with the next notice?
We can send it out. We didn't send it out in the first mailing. We can send
all
it
right.
out.
All right, we've got it, and we'll send it out to everybody so they know how to contact you, and of course, and we'll send out the website too.
All right.
All right, Matt, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. Keep up the good work, and we'll be praying for you. All right, God bless you.
God bless. Thank you.
Well, folks, we are once again find ourselves in the middle of a crisis. And you say, well, that's happening over in the Middle East. But let me tell you something, folks. The same thing that they've just done to Israel is what they want to do to America. And it's a blueprint. You assemble enough mass murderers, and you have them fan out across an area, and they kill everybody they see. I mean, that's the way it works. That's what they did. They sent 300 mass murderers across the border between Gaza and Israel, and they just killed everyone they saw. If you were driving down the road and they came across you, they shot you dead. If you were in your house, they bust into your house, shot you dead, shot the whole family dead. He mentioned these two boys. We don't know what ultimately happened to them, but I think they ultimately killed those boys because apparently they didn't leave anybody that they came across. They didn't leave anybody alive unless by mistake. So that's what they want to do here. They want to do that in America. So they hate Jews. They hate Christians. They hate Israel. They hate America. We are in this together. So, look, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you all so much for tuning in, for your support. You know where to go to help us. StandAmerica.us, StandAmerica.us, and we could certainly use your help and your support in order to continue the work that we're doing. Please check out our website, AmericasForgottenChildren.com, AmericasForgottenChildren.com. That's the project we've been working on to chronicle and make people aware of the innocent children that are being murdered in the inner city since the rise of the defund and dismantle the police movement. It has been one of the most murderous ideas that has ever hit America. It has cost the lives of countless people. We're only giving you a small portion of the lives lost, the innocent children, to call attention to that, but it's cost the lives of literally tens of thousands of people because this antipathy to the police really is you could call it essentially some kind of affinity for crime and criminals, because it's unleashed the criminals and the crime in these communities, and the main people to be hurt, not exclusively but predominantly, is black and other minority people, poor people living in these neighborhoods. They're the main ones who are getting killed and getting injured and seeing their children killed. So check out AmericasForgottenChildren.com. You can contribute there as well. God bless each and every one of you. We will be together again before Thanksgiving. Marlon, who do we have on next week?
We have Bob McEwen next week.
Bob McEwen, former Congressman Bob McEwen, one of the great speakers and historians of our country, former congressman, now head of the Council for National Policy. Be sure to tune in. You're going to enjoy what he has to say. You'll enjoy talking to him and asking him questions as well. So we'll see you all then next week. And in the meantime, everybody, stand up, step up, speak up. By the way, everybody, I have not withdrawn as a presidential candidate. I want you to know that. We're seeing a lot of people withdrawing. I have not withdrawn. I've never been acknowledged by the mainstream media, but I've also haven't quit. So you all be praying for me for guidance and direction as to what the Lord would have me do next. If you want to contribute to my campaign, believe me, we are still taking donations because we still have bills. So in the meantime, folks, you stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.